We are not the same. The playing ground is all of us. We came from another kingdom. We are polythiomas. Do you understand? Meaning extensions of another kingdom. You see, Christians trying to live life, trying to do their business, do their job, run their career, and make progress by human skill. You are wasting time. Your mind must be upon the everlasting covenant. We are that book of missional truth. Wherever God has sent you, listen, this is the message that will give meaning to your Christian experience. Without this, there is no purpose. And when an experience does not have a purpose, there is confusion and abuse. You cannot plan to reign without this revelation. It's not possible, sir. It's not possible, sir. The level of your dominion is a reflection of your level of skill in the doctrine of righteousness.
To you and have your seat. Tell them happy mid-year Thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Are they smiling? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. What a good God we serve. What a good God we serve. Amen. John chapter 6. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. Amen. Every other scripture in between, the media will help us project them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to just share some thoughts with us very quickly. In 40 minutes, I should be done. And then we'll get our dancing. Amen. We get our praising. We get our... Amen. Praise God. How many of you are excited this morning? I am. Those of you following online, are you excited? It's mid-year Thanksgiving. People are following from all over the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to just share some thoughts with us along the line of biblical thanksgiving, or you can call it the transforming power of thanksgiving. Amen. You know, over the years, I've done teachings here and there on the power of thanksgiving, and I'm just making reference to that. I don't know if they are online. The fastest way to find them is to look for Thanksgiving service messages. Amen. And you will find them. There are other ones who have taught around praise and thanksgiving and the power of rejoicing and all that. You can find the topics online and get them. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are we together? We are a people of prophecy. Acts chapter 3 verse 25. It says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in you and in your seed shall the kindreds of the earth be blessed. He said, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So he says, we are children of the prophet and of the covenant. Are we together? We are children of the prophet and of the covenant. Children of the prophet means the word of God spoken by holy men of God as they were moved by the Spirit brought us forth. Are we together? Those of you in the overflows, are we together? Amen. Amen. Can you shout? Shout amen if you can hear me. Those downstairs, we can't hear them. Hallelujah. Overflow downstairs, can we hear you? Shout amen if you can hear me. Woo! We can hear them. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right. We are a people of prophecy, meaning we are not product of chance. The word of God brought us forth. The word of prophecy. The Bible says no prophecy is of private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were carried along by the Spirit of God. And those words that they spoke forth brought us forth. Hallelujah. He says, we're also children of the covenant, which God made with our fathers. Meaning, when God called a covenant with Abraham, the result of that covenant is us. Are we together? Are we together? And that's very important. You know, in Romans chapter 9, verse 8, Paul was talking about the children of the flesh not being children of God. He said, but for those who are children of the promise, I are, these are counted for the seed. And he calls us the children of promise. What does it mean, the children of promise? People who were brought forth as a result of the words that God spoke to Abraham. When God looked to Abraham and told him, so shall your seed be. And then he gave a description of the seed. And then he told him that, look, through your seed shall the nations or the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Those words brought us forth. Are we together? This is why we can confidently say that we are a people of prophecy. We're a people who were brought forth by the word. We're a people with a history of covenant. We're a people with a present reality of God's commitment to his covenant. We're a people of a future or full manifestation of everything that God has spoken. So we are not just meandering our way through life. We are the product of prophecy. We are the product. We are the children of promise. Are we here? Now, somebody is wondering, why is Pastor talking about we being a people of prophecy and being products of the promise that God made to Abraham? Because this is the foundation for thanksgiving. Somebody did not get that. This is the foundation for thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? You know, in teaching, one of the ways you can understand a concept is by studying what it is not. Are we together? Did you hear that? You want to understand something, find out what it is not. And great teachers of faith have used that through the years. Kenneth Hagin teaches like that. A lot of teachers of faith. And they have brought understanding and brought light to different things by explaining what is not. You know why that is important? You see, God told Abraham, he said, come out of your kindred. Come out of your father's house. Come out of your land and go to a city that I will show you. Amen. And that is a picture of Christianity. Coming out of your father's land. Coming out of your father's house. Of your kindred into another realm. But here is where the problem is. You see, most times we come out, but we don't completely come out. Who understands what that means? That means somebody is still interpreting Christianity through the eyes of how he worshipped idols, how he served the gods of his fathers. So when you mention sacrifice, his mind goes to the sacrifice of goats and rams that was done by his father, who was a priest of the gods of his land. Are we together? There's a coloring. Now, the second side to it is this. Because we live in the world, can you play softly on the keyboard? We live in an environment, or I call the cosmos. We pick up things that conflict the ideologies of the kingdom. I need to follow me very closely. That means every time, when prayer is mentioned, for example, many things come to our mind. And part of the many things that come to our mind has to do with what we have picked up from the religious environment that has built and shaped our understanding of what prayer is. The same thing with love. When you mention love, you'll be amazed at what is going on people's minds. What they watch in Nollywood, in Bollywood, in Kellywood, in no, which other one is left? In Hollywood, is coming to play. So they are trying to measure their fiancé based on the movie they watched, based on the book they read. To them, if a man is not bringing fly in the morning, he's not in love with them. Glory to God. Why? That thing came from somewhere. If he's not calling three times a day, he doesn't really love them. That came from somewhere. Glory to God. Are you guys with me this morning? So because of the things we picked up here and there, from our backgrounds and from our environment, it's important when teachers teach, we explain what the concept is not. Are you getting me now? So, thanksgiving is not bribing God to bless you. That's number one. You know, unconsciously, teachings of praise, teachings around thanksgiving had given many believers the conditioning. You know, have you heard things like, when praises go up, blessings come down? That is juvenile revelation. You can't live by that. When blessings go up, and then you see the praise leader saying, when praises go up, blessings come down. And then people are sending the praises up, expecting blessings to come down. They are lost. You can see why we have to explain what the concept is not. So to that mind, when a believer hears that for many years, he thinks thanksgiving and praise is bribing God so that God can move. 1,000 times, no. We are already blessed. Can I get an amen? So there's no such thing as when praises goes up, blessings comes down, or blessings come down. No, we're already blessed. But see, thanksgiving positions us to receive that which is released. It's about positioning. It's about spiritual positioning to possess. About spiritual positioning to lay hold. It's about spiritual positioning to create the right atmosphere for the movings of the Spirit, or for the movings or the release of what is ours. Is somebody with me this morning? Going to the bank to withdraw money from your account is different from trying to get money to your accounts. Can I get an amen? Are they the same thing? Come on, glory zone. Are they the same thing? If there's no money in the bank, you cannot go to withdraw. Are you seeing the difference now? You are going to the bank because there's an assurance that there's money there. But you see, there are processes. You see, that you want to do online transfer, mobile transfer, or use an app. You put in the details, put in your code, and access what is already in your account. Amen. That means thanksgiving is like putting a code to access what is already in your account. Praise is like putting a code to access what is already in your account. Is somebody hearing me this morning? But it's not an attempt to make God put something into your account. It's there. That means thanksgiving is from a place of revelation. You have not given thanks until what is going on in your heart is correct. Thanksgiving. So number two now. Thanksgiving is not a religious ritual that we do to fulfill all righteousness. It's not. Rather, thanksgiving is a response of your spirit to the revelation of what He has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Are you getting that? Remember, I told you that we are people of prophecy. That means we have a history of covenant, a current reality of God's commitment to His covenant towards us, and a future of the full manifestation of what He has promised. Are we together? This Thanksgiving service, there's so much dullness this morning. Are we together? Are we together? Come on, let me have some life. Are we together? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is a response of our spirit to the revelation of what God has done. Oh, the Bible says, blessed is the people. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And before I say, blessed is the people that know the spiritual significance of the feast. Blessed is the people that understand what the Passover means. Blessed is the people that understand what the unleavened bread means. Blessed is the people that understand what the first fruit means. That understand what Pentecost means. That understand what atonement, Yom Kippur means. That understand Kalalabosa, what the feast of trumpet means. That understand what the feast of tabernacles means. He said the spiritual significance of the feast. I explained all that last Sunday. Glory to God. He said, they shall walk, O God, in the light of thy countenance. Hi, hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. That is what thanksgiving is. It's a response to a revelation in your heart. It's not primarily a response to what has happened on the outside. According to scripture, we're talking about biblical thanksgiving. It's a response. What are your convictions about God? It should provoke a response of thanksgiving. What are your persuasion about the mercies of God? It should provoke a response of thanksgiving. What are your persuasions about the goodness, the marvelous kindness of God, about God's covenant over your life? It should provoke a thanksgiving response. You know, every time I read Isaiah 54, I'm stirred, I'm charged, especially verse 1 to 3. He says, sing, O barren, break forth into singing, thou that didst not bear. And I say, pause a little. This woman is still barren. This woman has not given birth. You are telling her to break forth into singing. Why? For, because, thus saith the Lord, for more shall be the children of the desolate. Can you see that? That means on the ground of what God has said, break forth into singing. Break forth into singing. On account of the revelation of the reports. The Bible says, who has believed our report? Malago Zebredo Kasapaya. Who has believed our report? He said to that person, the saving arm of power of God is revealed. The saving arm of power of the Lord is advertised. Who has believed that report? He said to that person, the power of God is revealed. Can I get an amen? That means at the belief of the report, there should be a response. It's called thanksgiving. No, what has God told you for 2020? You don't give thanks when He manifests. That's the second level of thanksgiving. That one is for carnal men. Amen. If that's the first thing you do. Of course, there's nothing wrong with looking at what has happened to give thanks. But to thank God alone after the manifestation has come is a revelation of carnality. Are you here? Am I talking to someone? Break forth into singing. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. Let me just do a little. Not so. Thanksgiving. Most times the Hebrew word used is todah. It means to confess the name of the Lord aloud. Todah. To confess the name of the Lord aloud. Now, when we talk about confessing the name of a God, it's about proclaiming their works. That's what it means. You can see that in Psalm 26, verse 7. You can put it up. You proclaim His kindness and His mercy towards you. Psalm 26, verse 7. You can put it up. Let me just read something there for you. To confess the name of the Lord aloud with singing, with shoutings, with praises. That is thanksgiving. It means to make confessions to a name of a God. It means to take the name of a God on your lips. You see, when we talk about taking the name of a God on your lips, it has a lot to do with proclaiming the power accrued to that God. Are we together? You know, the Bible talks about their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after strange gods. And then he talked about not their drink offering, yes, of love would I not offer and all that. You see, the context of that scripture is bringing God to a scene, right? Bringing God to a situation. Bringing a God to a situation. The primary way you bring a God to a situation is by putting the name of that God on your lips. Are we here? There is a hailing. Now, if you are acquainted with many of African traditional religion, you see, there can never be a worship of a God without sound, without music, without incantations, without verbal utterances. Have you noticed? You see, when they begin to dance and make chants and make incantations, what are they saying? They are putting the name of a God on their lips so that He can show on the scene. Are you getting it now? That is what thanksgiving actually is. It means to make confessions to a God. Glory to God. To make confessions to the name of the Lord in proclaiming His mighty works. That's what you say. Do I have the Psalm 26 verse 7? That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. That is, tell of all thy wondrous works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now in the New Testament, most of the times the word used is Eucharistia. It means the giving of thanks. It means to be mindful of favors done for you. And in response, say thanks. To be mindful of favors. Hallelujah. How much did you pay for your salvation? How much did you pay for the air you're breathing? To be mindful of the favor. You know, I tell people, your worst day has gone. And it's just simple thinking. It can never get worse than the day you were born. Amen. You had nothing. You were naked. You were homeless. Praise God. jobless. Which other less is there? Knowledgeless. Which other less is there? Amen. I mean, you can supply it. Can it ever get worse? They had to give you clothes to wear. They had to give you food to eat. They had to give you shelter. That's the picture of helplessness. Glory to God. No, you can't get worse than that. Never. So he says to be mindful. And that shows us a major revelation about thanksgiving. That means thoughtfulness. 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 You must give thoughts to give thanks. Aye, did you get that? You must give thoughts to give thanks well. That means you will sit down and think. He says to be mindful of favors done. That means you will sit down and count it. You will sit down and begin to think. And in the process of giving thoughts, oh, you will find many reasons. You will find many reasons. And then thanksgiving will begin to flow. Can I get an amen? He says to be mindful. To be mindful. Your mind is full of something. You are giving thought. You are just... You know, sometimes I let my mind play from when I was a little boy. From when, as far as I can remember. It just plays. And I begin to see... Most times when I do that, I cry. Okay? I begin to see God's kindness. God's marvelous kindness. I begin to see God's mercy. I mean, I tell the devil all the time, if you couldn't kill me, then you can't kill me now. I know too much to be killed. Even when I didn't know anything, God's mercy was abundant. Has it ceased? Has it ceased? No. I'll just sit and think. Dear Lord God Almighty. And then I'll begin to think. If you saw me when I was 4 or 5, you will not believe you were told that I'll be where I am today. You won't believe it. There's no way you can believe it. Praise God. If you were told that I was going to be a medical doctor, going to pastor a great church, have a ministry to thousands and to millions, and take over the nations of the earth, be this glorious, you won't believe it. But you see, it's easy to forget. It's easy to have entitlement mentality. It's easy to feel entitled. You see, there's a correct entitlement mentality you should have as far as your right in Christ are concerned. But you see, there's an entitlement mentality that is incorrect. When you begin to think that God has not been faithful enough, it's coming from somewhere. Hallelujah. Being mindful, being thoughtful. If you thought you lost something, God is the reason why you have not lost everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, more thoughts. You can write this down. Thanksgiving is a proof of faith. Write it down. Thanksgiving is a proof of faith. Are you a person of faith? It will show in your attitude to thanksgiving. It's a proof of faith. Are you aware that Jesus gave thanks on many occasions before the physical manifestations appeared? Amen. When you study the Gospels, you will see that Jesus gave thanks. Two will stand out as we discuss this. One was at the feeding of 5,000 in John chapter 6. We're going to go there to read it. In John chapter 6, you can put it up now. Before the manifestation, he gave thanks. While Philip also, was it Philip or Nathanael? Well, there are so many people to feed, and all of God is 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know what Philip says? What is this among so many? Tap your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, never say again, what is this among so many? Rather be like Jesus, who lifted up the little and gave thanks and some multiplication. Jesus, before the manifestation, he knew the power of giving thanks. That was a revelation of his faith. Look at this. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he did what? He distributed it to his disciples, and the disciples to the people. And likewise, the fishes. What did he do? He took the fish too and lifted it up. You know, when you say loaves, you are thinking of one big shaddock bread loaf or something. Now I'm doing free advert for shaddock bread. Amen. Hope they're coming to pay me for this. I've got some influence, man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Don't think of a big... How many of you know a loaf of bread? What in 21st century we'll call a loaf of bread? You know, is this size? Depends. But it's a... Jesus, the Bible wasn't talking about five loaves like that. No. Critical reasoning. Can a child... The Bible says a little boy's lunch... A young lad's lunch. Can a child finish five loaves of shadow bread for lunch? He didn't say the food for 3 days. No. He says a little boy's lunch. You see why the Bible tells us to put thoughts to scriptures. So he wasn't talking about, he was talking about slices. You know those in Middle Eastern flat bread. Aya. That bread I used to make shawarma. Five slices of bread. Contemporary English. The Bible says he took it up. He blessed it. He gave thanks. So Jesus gave thanks before the manifestation. Thanksgiving is an expression of faith. Why was he able to give thanks? Because, before the manifestation, because there was something he knew about God. He knew the power of the blessing. He was conscious of the blessing. He knew that God was committed to making his word come to pass. This is why anybody that have this revelation, your prayer life will be full of thanksgiving. Even when you go to make requests, you are saying, Lord, thank you for the new car has come in the name of Jesus. That becomes your prayer. You are not saying, oh Lord, are you not seeing how I'm suffering? Listen, prayer is not complaint commission. Prayer is approaching God on the basis of his word. He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. This is why it's full of thanksgiving. If it's done properly. Why? You are carrying the word. And the world shows you the revelation of what God has done, what he can do, and what he's going to do. He lifted the five loaves, lifted the fish, and gave thanks. The two incidents was at the tomb of Lazarus. Ooh, Rabakaya. Blessed Jesus. You know, when he arrived there in power. That was where he called himself the resurrection and the life. Martha said, I know my brother will rise again on the last day at the resurrection. Kai. Jesus preached a hot shot sermon. He said, Martha, resurrection is not an event. Resurrection is a person. Meaning when that person appears, resurrection happens. And then the Bible says, he asked him, where have you laid him? When he got there, he said, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. If you think your declarations of faith have been embarrassed, check Jesus. They came and told him that Lazarus, your friend, is sick. He made a declaration. This sickness is not unto death. Satan killed him to embarrass the anointed one and his anointing. But you see, in the arena of faith, it is who laughs last. Are you listening? Don't pay attention to the noise of Satan. Don't pay attention to the lying vanities. Thank you. That something had not turned out the way you declared, it shouldn't bother you. When Jesus got there, he didn't pay attention. He said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Meaning, when I said this sickness is not to death, you heard me. Meaning, no shaking. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. You see, when you receive a news or something happened that was not part of the script that you saw, what do you do? Father, I thank you because you have gone ahead of me to make every crooked path straight. You are with me now and we can only win. We can only win. Hallelujah. Listen, we are a people of faith. We are different from the world. We are a people of prophecy, meaning our path has been set by the words that have been spoken. We are not children of chance. No. Are you listening to me? He said, behold, I come, O God. It is written of me in the volume of the books. Behold, I come to do your will, O God. Hallelujah. Are you aware that we pre-existed time? We pre-existed time. And we will leave time behind. Glory to God. Why? We are creatures of eternity. We pre-existed time. What did God tell Jeremiah? He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. That means you existed. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Because you hear me always. And he stood. He said, Lazarus, come out. And the man that was bound in grave clothes, dead and buried 4 days ago, jumped out of the grave. That in itself is a miracle. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you know anything about Jewish embalmment, his coming out was a miracle. Glory to God. That means that comfort lifted him. Have you seen where the power of God flings people, lifts people and flings them? Lifted him. Lifted him from the grave, put him on his feet and moved him out. Hallelujah. So thanksgiving is an expression of faith, is the proof of faith. And this is why you must begin when the word of God comes to you. When the revelation of God's kindness comes to you, the first response is thanksgiving and rejoicing. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication mixed with all thanksgiving, make your request known to God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, that means as you are making your request known, thanksgiving is inside. Can you imagine? You are making your request known, it has not happened. That's what it means. But he admonishes us that even in the midst of the prayer, it has to be garnished with thanksgiving. I mean, prayer of supplication is not complete until there is thanksgiving. Hallelujah! Praise God. You give thanks because the word is real to you. Remember, God does not play with his word. He says, God is not the man that he should lie. Neither is he a son of man that he should repent. Amen. Second or third thoughts. Depends on your system of numbering. Thanksgiving is a proof of your character. That you are a person of honor and integrity. Write it down. It's a proof of your character. The recognition of what has been done for you, no matter how little, shows how honorable you are. Have it together. Is the proof, is your revelation of your character. There are people that are ungrateful because they expect so much and they are getting so little. Listen, as a person of honor, you are grateful even for the little. And this goes to spouses. The little changes you see, appreciate it. The little effort you see, appreciate it. Amen. As a person of honor, be a grateful person. It's a revelation of being an honorable person. It's a revelation of being a person of character. And the same thing toward God. Lord, God, you see, all my mates are married with children. Thank you. Number one, you don't have mates. That's the first revelation to cure that thinking. You don't have a mate. In case you think you have mates, some are dead. Amen. They are your mates, true or false? Some are in jail. Amen. Some have run mad. Nothing is happening in their lives. Are you listening to me? Some are not in the faith. They are not born again. Their souls are not saved. When they enter into the eternity in front, their destination is the lake of fire. Are they still your mate? Be grateful for the little. Are you listening to me? Listen to this. A thanksgiver never says, "What is this among so many?" He doesn't say it. It's not part of his vocabulary. What is this among so many? That was all Philip said. You can put it up in that John chapter 6. What is this among so many? I mean, what kind of car is this when people have car? At least the car is carrying you from one place to another. You look at your wardrobe. Are these clothes? Are these clothes? When people have clothes, Lord, I don't even know what's happening. Are these clothes? That is not the attitude of a thanksgiver. Are you listening? Somebody say, I'm in faith. And then my wife had to still go to CS. Wife is fine. Child is fine. And you are not dancing and rejoicing. There are those who through the process of pushing died. The wife died. The child died. You've never heard about it? And then because you feel your faith, as you see me so, I'm not trying to prove a point to God or to anybody. Whatever God does, I'm grateful. Your wife came out alive. Your child is alive. And you're saying, you know, if God is really faithful, why did you have to do CS? A thanksgiver doesn't think like that. He never says, "What is this among so many?" Rather, you lift your 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is what we are here to do. What has happened? What is your 5 loaves and 2 fish in 2020 so far? Hey, you will lift it up today and say, "Father, I will not say what is this among so many. At least I have life. At least I can breathe. At least I'm healthy. At least I could walk to church. At least I could be brought to church. At least I can hear what the preacher is saying. At least I can see." You will find a reason and lift up your 5 loaves and 2 fish and give thanks. A thanksgiver doesn't say, "What is this among so many?" He finds a reason to be grateful. He's just fishing it out and dancing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "If not for the Lord, now let Israel see." Oh, hallelujah. "If not for the Lord, if not for the Lord, now let glory zone say, if not for the Lord who has been on our side, we would have lost everything. If not for the Lord who has left us a seed, we would have been unto Sodom and Gomorrah. If not for the Lord who has been on our side." Now let glory zone say, let the embassy of heaven say. We find reasons. You will dig them out. Oh, glory to God. You dig them out and let them increase your step in dance. Let them increase your sound of praise, your sound of thanksgiving. You will dig them out, sir. You will dig them out, ma. Remember, I told you to give thanks means to be mindful of favor done to you. That means you have to be thoughtful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, this was part of the attitude of David that got the attention of God. He was a thanksgiver. Oh, he had the Lord always before him. All that was on his mind was having life and praising God. Are you aware that after David was anointed as king, when he returned home from walking in the king's palace, he went back to take care of the flock, of the few flock. And if you read his Psalms, especially when Saul was pursuing him, he said that he wasn't really interested. Amen. He said, "What is God that called me into this? I didn't want to be king." Glory to God. Grateful person. Grateful person. Hallelujah. Grateful person. Praise God. Grateful person. Hallelujah. Do we have an usher outside to attend to people? Okay, there's somebody waiting outside. Praise God. Are you blessed this morning? Shout, "I am blessed." Praise God. Hallelujah. I think we should read that John 6 from verse 2 now. Just put it up. Let it be that we read scriptures. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Next verse. And Jesus went up into a mountain and he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? You know, there was an account in the other epistle that showed that they had been with him for 3 days. Amen. So they were famished, they were hungry. And that shows Jesus as a pastor. Amen. That pastoral care thing was there. So crusade, they received miracles. Okay, everybody to your tent, to Israel. Amen. He said, disciples said, send them away. Ah, man of God, send them away. He said, no, get them something to eat. A good shepherd. Amen. All right. And he said unto, verse 5 first. Go back to verse 5. When Jesus, look at this. He said unto Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? You know, let me just bring your attention to something. Jesus had abundance mentality. I mean, he wanted to buy bread for 5,000 men, excluding the women and the children. Inside the wilderness. Supply thinking. You know, as a Christian, you can either be demand conscious or supply conscious. Train your mind to be supply conscious. Hallelujah. Verse 6 now. The Bible says, this is said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Next verse. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every man of them may take a little. Next verse. One of his disciples, actually it was Andrew that said it. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 belly loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are these? What are they among so many? I mean, what can we use this to do? You know, there are 2 ways you can look at this. It also shows his attempt to try to believe. Do you understand? He knew Jesus. So he brought it to him. Okay, if something can happen with this, do something. Did you get that? All right. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. You want multiplication order? All right. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in number about 5,000. Next verse. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, meaning he lifted it up and gave thanks, then distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as the wood. Next verse. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 belly loaves. How? Which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. How can you explain this? How can you explain this? Hallelujah. He lifted it up and gave thanks. So number 3, thanksgiving is a system of multiplication. You can write it down. It's a system of multiplication. You can see that in this verse. You can see that in Jeremiah 30 verse 19. Out of them. You know, when we're like 20 people, that was when we're quoting the scripture and dancing. Hallelujah. House of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of them that do bedu, amen. And what follows? Can we read it together, church? 1, 2, go. Out. Oh, hold it. I want everybody to read. Are we together? In the overflows, everybody, Jeremiah 30 verse 19. 1, 2, go. And. And they shall know this one. I mean, that doesn't need further explanation. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of them that make merry. What follows? I will multiply them. I will multiply them. And they shall not be few. That means everywhere you have thanksgiving and rejoicing, the power of multiplication is in their midst. I told you, instead of complaining, that say, Lord, you called us to the city of Jos. We have word. We have even seen miracles here and there. Why are we 25 people in church today? Why are people not coming? What are you going to do? Listen, where your thanksgiving stops is where your growth stops. Is where your multiplication stops. Amen. Glory to God. The same thing with the finances of the ministry. Glory to God. Amen. Like Bishop Oyedepo told Dr. Paul Enenche, when he was a younger pastor, he told him that this was the attendance, this was the offering. Amen. And he said, this is not what we're expecting and all that. You know, we have many things to do. Money. He said, son, what did you sell today? He said, nothing, sir. Did you buy and sell nothing? He said, whatever came, give thanks for it. That's how it's going to multiply. Glory to God. You give thanks. You give thanks. Hallelujah. You give thanks. And then multiplication. Praise God. Hi. All right. Let me just jump quickly. How to give thanks well. You know, I borrowed that expression from Paul the Apostle. 1 Corinthians 14. He said, when you give thanks in other tongues, you give thanks well. So how to give thanks well? Now, why do we talk about giving thanks well? This is where I'll stop today. Why do we talk about giving thanks well? Because God does things according to prescribed order. Write it down. God does things according to prescribed order. One of the revelation, let me put it this way. One of the indicators of spiritual growth is understanding God's prescribed order for doing things. Did you hear that? One of the major indicators of your spiritual growth is understanding God's prescribed order for doing things. What is God's prescribed order for worship? What is God's prescribed order for giving? What is God's prescribed order for praise? What is God's prescribed order for prayer? That you pray doesn't mean God has heard. What is God's prescribed order for service? That you served according to your mind doesn't mean it's acceptable. The Bible talks about acceptable service. He said, let us serve God acceptably. That means there is prescribed order. Praise God. That is remarkable. I tell people, you do not serve God from your brain. You don't serve God according to your thinking. Especially millennials. Amen. Millennials, those who are 35 and below. Glory to God. Especially that generation. You don't serve God according. Somebody say, tithe. I read from the Bible that you can give your tithe to beggars, to those who are in need. I was on my way to church. I saw a beggar. I just gave him my tithe. You are ignorant. That erratic behavior, to him, he's doing it according to what his brain told him. What does the word say? What does the word say? You tell somebody about being committed to a local church. He says, no, the body of Christ is one. Anywhere I go, I can decide on Sunday. I'm watching TV. I'm watching this preacher today. Next Sunday, I'm going to that church. Upper Sunday, I'm just a member of the body of Christ. You are in error. What is God's prescribed order? According to God's prescribed order, you are supposed to be a part of a member, a functional unit of the body. Are you listening to me? Now, what did Paul use to describe the body? To describe the church, the body, right? The human body. Is somebody following me? The human body, he says, though they have many parts, it is one body. That means in the human body, the heart will always be the heart. The brain will always be the brain. The legs will always be the legs. Are all parts of your body the same? No. Have you ever seen a floating member of your physical body? It's dead. When it's ready to die, it floats. Because your supply gets to you where you are planted. If a heart cell decides to go and join with kidney, that heart cell is dead. Amen. You know, it's harsh, but it's the truth. Why? The heart cell is developed to be around the heart. Even the blood supply to the heart cell, those of you who did anatomy, they are specialized. The blood supply to the kidneys, the cells in the kidneys are specialized. In fact, differences have different systems of receiving from the blood. Are we together? So we serve God according to prescribed order. That's why I say it is a major indicator of your spiritual growth. Don't be an erratic Christian. Be calm to understand what God says. Then you do it according to what God says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes when people talk, you are wondering, what do I do with this one now? What do I start from? So many wild branches. Wild. Are you learning something this morning? Serve God according to prescribed order. Do things in the kingdom. Somebody say communion. Must we use wine and bread? Can somebody take egusi soup and pounded yam as communion? It's not just to bless it. Somebody told me this. I'm not making it up. And now you're wondering, where did this one come from now? That you use Pami Abi as the blood. And then you wonder, where is this one coming from? You are laughing. Somebody told me this. What am I emphasizing? You do things according to prescribed order. Why did Uzzah die? You remember Uzzah in the Bible? In 2 Samuel, I believe. 2 Samuel 6 or so. Was it because Uzzah was just a scapegoat? The Bible says that God had ordained that his ark be carried on the shoulders of the priest. What was David thinking? New technology. You know, that's why it's deceiving many people now. I say, we don't need to have corporate gathering. Internet service is enough. Listen, no technology can ever replace God's call order for carrying his presence. No technology. Are you listening? Even psychologists tell you that man is a social being and he cannot survive being isolated. That's human knowledge. So David had a new technology called the cart. That was the highest level of technology for transportation in those days. Are you aware? Okay, let's carry the presence of God. You have to know what is the prescribed order. What happened? They carried the ark in a cart. And then God was already angry. Then the ark shook and then Uzzah was going to touch. Scapegoat. To show you that nothing was wrong with the ark. When they took the ark to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Malagabaya. All that 6 months. You know, that's one of my favorite portions of scriptures. Amazingly. You know, when I meditate on it, I see the wonders of God's presence with the man. In 6 months, he became so prosperous that the palace had it. Do you know what it means for your prosperity to get to Aso Rock? I said, Kai, there's a young man in Jos, Dr. Karis. The way he's prospering, we don't understand. And then the president gives you a call. Oh, glory to God. Why? The ark was in the house of Obed-Edom. Like a fire, the presence of God with a man. Ooh, glory to God. I'm excited. The presence of God with a man. Obed-Edom the Gittite carried the same ark that killed Uzzah. So when David went to inquire, what was he told? He says, well, for we did not carry the ark of the Lord according to the prescribed manner. For it was to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. Are you learning something? How do you serve in a local church? How do you belong to a local church? How do you give your offerings? How do you give to the anointed? How do you worship? How do you pray? How do you study the Bible? How do you give thanksgiving? Make up your mind that I will learn God's prescribed order for doing things. Hallelujah. There's a way to follow a man of God. There's a way to be mentored. There's a prescribed order. For example, you cannot collect wisdom and money at the same time. You have to choose one. can't imagine me going to my mentor and asking for, it cannot happen. He owes me one thing, wisdom. There's a prescribed order. Some people have turned mentorship to sponsorship. Kai, let me not. Are you learning something? To maximize any concept, you must do it according to prescribed order. So let us rush very quickly. Number one, how do you give thanks? Well, you give thanks with understanding. You give thanks with understanding. I've said a whole lot about that. With the understanding, the revelation of who God is, what He has done, what He has made you. The revelation of our history of covenant. The revelation of our present reality of God's commitment to His word. And the revelation of the future of full manifestation of everything He has promised. Are you here? Understanding. As you are dancing, something is going through your mind. You are seeing the marvelous kindness of God. As you are dancing, you have understanding that, look, this is my 5 loaves and 2 fish. I will not say, what is this among so many? I will lift it and give God thanks. That is understanding. Hallelujah. Number two, you give thanks with your whole heart. Hi, with your whole heart. That means no half-heartedness. Everything you have is inside. Glory to God. Number three, you give thanks with rejoicing. In bracket, put this, I had to put them together. Singing, dancing, shouting, and laughing. Psalm 95 verse 2, very quickly. Nehemiah 12:46. Psalm 95 verse 2, very quickly. Oh, we're getting ready. Lage baratosa. Hallelujah. Psalm 95 verse 2. He said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Joyful noise. Glory to God. God likes noise. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Joyful noise. So you hear us give a shout to the Lord. To the uneducated spiritually, it sounds noisy. But to God, it's a joyful noise. God loves it. God loves it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 12 verse 46. Nehemiah 12 verse 46. For in the days of David and of Asaph of old, they were chief of the singers. The songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. That means there were songs of thanksgiving. Have it together. So you give thanks with songs, with singing. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Jeremiah 30 verse 19 that we read, it says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. What is the voice of them that make merry? That's rejoicing. That is shouting. When you are merry, what do? You laugh. You shout. You dance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number four. Thanksgiving. You do thanksgiving with an offering. With an offering. You see, your money and your material wealth is a measure of your life. Is a measure of your time. It represents you. Hallelujah. And that you have to do sacrificially. That means if you came here and you are not prepared, maybe you didn't know you had to come for a Thanksgiving service with an offering. You have to do something about it. Is either if you can access this technology, it you can do transfer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or do a check. You have to review it and tell yourself, everything that has happened to me between January and now, is God really faithful? With what pastor is saying, do I really have a reason to thank God? If the answer is yes, you have to thank Him with an offering. Amen. You have to thank Him with an offering. And don't do something that is convenient for you. Do something willingly, but that reflects how grateful you are for what the Lord has done between January and July. Are we together? And remember, that will also reflect your expectation for the second half of the year. Remember, I will say thanksgiving is a revelation. A response from the revelation of what God is going to do as far as manifestation is concerned. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 15. Leviticus 7, verse 15. Very quickly, Psalm 50, 14. Leviticus 7, 15. Are we there? And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. Offerings for what? Offerings for what? For thanksgiving. Leviticus 22, 29. I like a word he adds to the offering of thanksgiving. Sacrifice. It says, and when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That's what I was saying earlier. Do it willingly. When he says will, it doesn't mean you should do whatever you want to do. No. Do it thoughtfully. That's what he's saying. You have reasoned it. That's what he's saying. Do you understand? You have reasoned it. You have decided. Based on this, this is what I'm going to do. I'll do it today. I can't access it now. And by the way, let me just say this. You see, as a Christian, to transfer money to church and it bounces, and then you keep the money to use, shows you are not really wise. No, glory don't talk to me. Is that wisdom? Somebody transfers offering, it bounces back, and then he uses it to buy shawarma on Monday. As I'm saying it, I'm feeling afraid for you. I'm feeling cold in my body for you. I feel cold. I feel cold. Glory to God. The person's journey is far. Because you think offering on Sunday is because somebody on the pulpit told you to give. It's your act of worship. It's something that is personal between you and God. And listen, something that affects the outcome of your future. So it's not, it's something that is sacred. Thank you. That's the word. It's something that is sacred. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. So you give thanks with an offering. As in Psalm 50, 14, you can read that. Psalm 50, verse 14. Maybe you just read that as the last one. And then other channels of thanksgiving is also prayer. You can give thanks with prayer. But let's read Psalm 50, verse 14. Can we read this? One to go. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Vows has a lot to do in those days. Vows has a lot to do with material things they pledge to give. Have it together. That means part of thanksgiving is remitting your vows. That's what he's saying. He's remitting your vows. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Some of you pledge for capital projects. All right. And some of you, you will make a vow. Say, look. Lord, you've done, some of you had made a vow. Lord, for everything you did for me in the first half of this year, this is what I want to give thanks to you. Hallelujah. I remember a sister some years ago made a vow. Lord, this year if you do this for me, I'll give thanksgiving offering. I'll give you 100,000. Amen. And at thanksgiving, she came to give the 100,000. Hallelujah. That's remitting the vow because you've come to thank God. Whatever dimension you look at it, it's about remitting something. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God. And God has been gracious. Can I prophesy to someone? You see, I shared the testimonies with you last Sunday. If I just got another one crazy testimony, I showed it to you some days ago, of a job, a heavy job, inside everything that is happening. A heavy job that the person will be traveling abroad. Amen. Glory to God. We have had testimonies of a lot of our brethren have gotten job between March and now. A lot. I just said I was thinking about a lot. Some are doing documentation as we're talking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I prophesy to someone, in the midst of everything that is happening around the world, you are having your greatest testimonies. Kai. I said, in the midst of everything happening, I speak in the name of Jesus. Liko razishtu patiletuskapa. Jepatola tiskapa. Ilato patela skapayatusa. Concerning jobs, businesses,
whatever it is, you're having your greatest testimonies in this season.
In the name of Jesus, I say you are having your greatest testimonies in this season. In the name of Jesus.
Somebody has been visited by Ebenezer. Somebody has been visited by the stone of help. In the name of Jesus. Somebody watching, somebody in this hall, somebody in the overflow, somebody watching online. I speak in the name of Jesus. In this season, experience your greatest testimony so far. Experience your greatest testimony so far. In the name of Jesus. Handle monies you've not handled before. Have jobs you've not done before. Enjoy opportunities you've not had before. Enjoy open doors you've not had before. In the name of Jesus. And for somebody listening to me, your raving moment has come. For the Lord is instructing the ravens. Kalabos kaba. The Lord is instructing ravens, to bring to you that which you need. To bring to you that which you need. For that business, for that ministry, for that destiny, for that home. In the name of Jesus.
Kai, I'm prophesying so people are not saying amen. Prophecy time is receiving time. It's receiving time. That's my configuration. I don't need to shake. I speak it, it is so. When you put Cyril Ronaldo on the pitch, he just plays. His configuration is football. Mine is to bring the realities of heaven to men on earth. That means I can be drinking coke and shawarma, and he come to me with urgent need. I will lay hands and there will be a performance. I don't need to shake. Thus says the Lord, I speak by the Spirit. I don't know who this is for, but the Lord is saying, in the midst of all that is going on, you are laying hold on your greatest testimony so far. I don't know what that means, but I speak the word of the Lord as I hear in my heart, that in this season, in this month of July, in this same 2020, your hands will handle your greatest testimony so far. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I speak to someone, I hear in my heart, the builder's anointing has come upon you. The builder's anointing, I don't know what it is, but as I'm talking, I sense that anointing. The builder's anointing. The builder's anointing. The anointing to build. The anointing to build. The anointing to build. The anointing to build. Somebody listen to me. The Lord has been speaking to you that it's time to build. Maybe build a house. Maybe build a relationship. Maybe build a home. Maybe build a business. Maybe build a career. And you are saying, Lord, let things get better. No! The Lord says it's time to build. And in this service, Ligo Razi Latos Jeliandos Kepalita, that anointing to build, that grace to build, that grace to raise that idea, to raise that structure, to raise that building, to raise that pin. I don't know what it is. The grace to raise it rest upon you now in the name of Jesus. Shabalatos Sholakrons Kibala Kondra Kipa Jepetobala Rakopatila Rebo. Speak in tongues, everyone in the hall, in the overflow, speak in tongues. Jaliga Brondiska. The builder's anointing. The builder's anointing. The builder's anointing. The builder's. The builder's anointing. Ragopasila. Rekopatila. Redokapa. Help that person. Jetopata. Rekopatila. Kobatila. Jepetola. I see reproach being removed. I see reproach being removed. I see reproach. I see. I see reproach be removed. I see a new garment of favor, a garment of glory, a garment of favor. Thus saith the Lord, for your shame you shall have double. You shall have double. You shall have double in the name of Jesus. Listen. Listen, for somebody hearing me. This shall be a season of glorious suddenness of God. It shall be a season of glorious suddenness of God. It shall be a season of glorious suddenness of God. Suddenly your feet are on the mountain of your expectations. Suddenly your feet are on the mountain of the harvest of your seed. Suddenly your feet are on the mountain of the manifestations of your desires. In the name of Jesus. The glorious suddenlies of God. Japatopa la toskepa. Rakopatola palatosa. Jalabalatosa. Ligabora digaba. You will receive a call. Ligaposa. Yes. You will receive a call that will put smile, rejoicing, a shout in your mouth, a smile on your face, a song. On Shapato Kabalades, Yalo Mananga Banana Baye, Hilako, can you speak in tongues? Listen, this is receiving time. This is receiving. This is a service to receive. Amen. It's a service to receive. It's a believer service. It's a service to receive. Orabakons Kabalatoska. Those of you in the overflows, connect, connect. There's no distance. There's no distance. Hey, aroba gabayanosa. Hey, aroba, aroba gaye. Hey, aroge bayona bade. Hey, ano manade. Hey, ano manade. That reproach is removed. Yes, that reproach is removed. That reproach is removed. That reproach is removed. In the name of Jesus, I see an army of helpers rising for us. I see an army of helpers rising for us. I see an army of helpers rising for us. I see an army of helpers, 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 helpers of destiny. In the name of Jesus, in this 2020, the helpers have come. The financial helpers have come. The business partner helpers have come. Those that God will use to stabilize your home, to stabilize that business, to stabilize your spiritual life. Help us have come in the name of Jesus. The Lord is sending to you genuine men and women, genuine, not fake people, genuine, in the name of Jesus. The Lord will orchestrate relationships. He orchestrate relationships. He orchestrate connections. Covenant connections, strategic alliances, in the name of Jesus. I speak in the name of Jesus that in the second half of this year, everything that was lost, everything that was delayed, lakopa si lakopa, rekopa latons kepaya, everything that was held down because of the manipulations of the system, I speak in the name of Jesus. I speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. I engage the force of restoration. I engage the power of God for recoveries. And I declare there are recoveries for you. I declare there are restoration for you. I declare you are restored. Those things are restored. In the name of Jesus. And I speak in the name of Jesus that this 2020 will end for you as though there was never COVID-19, as though there was no delay, as though there was no interruption, in the name of Jesus. For your hand will handle everything that the Lord spoke concerning you concerning this year, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your hand will hold that which your heart has reached out for, in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray for someone who is sick in their body. I know it's not a healing service.
But I just want to speak words. You can put your hand there with faith in your heart. That's what's going to happen. The anointing of God's Spirit can heal. Amen. And He's present here to heal. 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 Right. You can just put your hand there. I'm going to command the sickness to leave you. I'm going to command the infections to leave. The diagnosis, the blood condition, whatever they have said it is, it's going to leave you. It's going to, whatever you're believing God for, put your hand there. Put your hand there with faith in your heart, saying, today is my day, not tomorrow. Today is my day for a miracle. God can do it now. Put your hand there. In the overflows, outside, downstairs, first overflow, just put your hand there. Marako sebrado ke sushtepa. Liga brunda sushtepa. Can we speak in tongues? Liga brunda. Selia sushta. Liga brunda sushtepa. Dilekosa. Liga posa. Liga brunda sushta. Roba, just play softly. Just play softly. Put your hand there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. I take authority over pains. I take authority over fibroid. I take authority over chronic abdominal pain. I take authority over HIV/AIDS. I take authority over ear pain, eye pain, eye disorder.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.